We're back on In Focus News Radio, KMAN, talking today with Cheryl Collins, director of the Riley County Historical Museum. We're talking about outgrown, outdated, and obsolete objects that used to be common that are now uncommon. You can give us a call, 785-537-1350. If you remember something maybe you used in your previous childhood or early days that you don't use anymore, or maybe you've dug it out and you wanted to use it again. We've talked a lot about how phones have changed a lot of stuff. We were talking during the break. The copy machines have changed as well, and some people don't even make copies anymore.
Right. When researchers come in, quite often they just take a picture of whatever they want on their telephone. So it's a big change in life.
Yeah, it's fast. It's convenient. I know I've done that before when I go. When I used to go to the police station a lot more frequently to get records and such, you could take a notebook and just write it down or just take a picture on your phone and then you have it quickly. So, yeah.
And, of course, that's changed how photography is. No film cameras very much. Flash bulbs.
Flash cubes.
Were you around when flash bulbs were used on cameras?
Yes.
A little bit. I remember my grandpa, whenever we'd take the family photo, would use one of those.
You know, we used to, the flash bulbs was one thing. Of course, even 35mm film, the 110s, Polaroids, there's all kinds of things, obviously,
that
have kind of transitioned out. But the flash cubes had, what, 4 bulbs in it?
Yeah.
You could buy a dozen at a time. You know, you just couldn't take random pictures back
in
those days.
Taking a photograph was kind of a big deal because it cost money.
Yeah.
And my wife, when she originally went to college, majored in photography, and that in that industry, she saw a lot of change, even just in being in college, the transition in the 2000s going from more digital photography from film. But she learned both, in college because you had to. And I don't think most people would know, at least the younger generation, how to change film in a camera.
I doubt that, too. And it really changed the way photographs are, because with digital photographs, you have much easier manipulation of the images. You can Photoshop things into other places, and that was, you could do that with film, but it was much harder.
You know, one thing that's kind of gone away with the advent of photos and the cameras is the photo books, because people used to print their photos more frequently and have photo books. I have some still, but, we don't use them as much.
Right.
Well, everybody just has their phones on their computers or their photos on their phone or their computers. And do you print photos very often, Dave?
Oh, no. It's expensive to print the photos. I mean, I don't print them myself, but, I would send them off to, one of the places to have them printed. There's a number of places you could do that, obviously.
Well, and they have places where you can send photographs and have them made into books. So for some special occasions, people do that, which is different than things were done in the past.
I see one thing on here that I'm sure... I think Dave knows somebody who uses this still, and that's shorthand. there were shorthand machines, stenotype machines.
Mm-hmm. But my father taught shorthand in high school, and Jackie Hartman Bork. I remember sitting next to her in a meeting, and she was writing out notes in shorthand. And she's the only person that I've seen that I've actually witnessed utilizing shorthand. And this was maybe 6-7 years ago is when I was on the commission. And I just kind of was taken a little bit aback because that was just such a surprise that, you just don't see people utilizing that.
When I was researching about shorthand a little bit, I saw that there are computer programs now that will translate old shorthand into English or something readable. Which, of course, is a problem if you get records in shorthand is there someone that can read them?
Yeah, and boy, note-taking for sure is a skill for a lot of people I don't know are learning anymore. I had to take a note-taking class in high school. I think it was 9th or 10th grade, and we learned a little bit about shorthand, and actually quite a bit. But yeah, I don't know if that's still being taught in the schools anymore.
I don't know either.
Oh, I bet not.
Yeah, probably not.
You know, they don't teach cursive in the schools, let alone shorthand. You know, what are you thinking? Oh, by the way, a little bit of research on typewriters. You can find them. Most of the ones that I'm finding are manual. Some of the major outlets, Staples, Amazon, Walmart all have typewriters.
Hmm.
But I haven't. I'm going to look for an IBM Selectric now, because that was a game changer.
Oh, absolutely. I remember when the museum got its first Selectric typewriter.
Yeah. Yeah, when we had those here at the radio stations, oh my goodness, that was like the world's greatest thing. It was. But I'm not seeing anything other than, you might be able to find those on eBay or something.
Well, one of the changes is businesses used to have secretaries, and I think that's becoming very rare now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and, you know,
Wait, you talk about the jobs that have gone away. You remember the folks that were at the telephone offices, you know, putting plugs in, connecting lines together.
Right. Right.
Well, among
the automation changed that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, one thing that changes quite a bit from generation to generation is toys. And, you know, some toys have longer lifespans than others, like, you know, the ball. Everyone's always going to have a ball to play with. Yo-yos, still around. I don't know that kids use them as much as maybe they used to, but yo-yos, jacks, I don't know that. I can't remember the last time I played with jacks. Years ago.
My father hated jacks because we would leave them on the floor and he'd step on them.
Oh,
no. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
I think the Lego's taken over for that now.
Oh, no doubt about it. You know, and things like, even card games, utilizing playing cards.
Well, and there was a whole social group around playing cards. My parents always had a bridge club, and I think that was very popular in the 50s. So then you had a whole group of objects that were related to that. You had scorecards and bridge sets, which were snack trays that you could put your bridge snacks on. So a whole range of things.
TV trays?
Yes. I still use TV trays.
And how about the TV dinners that were in the aluminum that you put in the oven, because that was pre-microwave?
Yes. Microwave has changed things remarkably, I think.
See, and we didn't have a microwave growing up. I remember it was a big deal when we bought Mom and Dad a microwave for their wedding anniversary, and that was, what, mid-80s, maybe?
Yes, that's when I think of microwaves becoming really more common.
And Brandon, you've had a microwave your entire life.
I have. In fact, for a long time at my house when I was growing up, the microwave is the same age as me, and I actually took that thing to college, and it was so heavy. It was huge.
They were very heavy and expensive. They weren't inexpensive.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can get one for 50, 60 bucks now, but, you know, I think the one that we bought Mom and Dad was $400 or $500.
Yeah, they were pretty expensive.
You know, and you take into consideration a lot of the other things, you know, with regard to foods and preparation. I just remember, you know, Jiffy Pop popcorn was such a big treat. And, of course, you know, they're still available, but that's the novelty item.
Well, and you remember when air popping came in.
Had one of those.
In my lifetime.
Yeah, had one of those. Had a couple of them. Went through them pretty well.
See, and I've never had anything but microwave popcorn, except at the movie theaters. You know, I don't think I've ever at home.
Not even air popping?
I don't think so. Maybe a long time ago, but I don't recall.
We just used to put some oil in a pan, drop the popcorn in it, and
right
on top of the stove.
And that's fun.
And then you melt butter on top of it.
It was easy to burn your pan that way, too.
It was, yeah.
Well, one thing, I see skates on here, and I don't know, does Manhattan have a skating rink anymore?
No.
No? But skating's been...
Well, ice skating.
Well, yeah.
Parks and Rec.
Well, Like roller skates, though, I know those have been popular for many decades. Maybe not so much as they used to be, but that was a big thing, I know, in the 70s.
And occasionally I see someone with inline skates skating around on sidewalks, but I haven't seen the kind that you had a key and put them on the bottom of your shoe. I haven't seen any of those for a long time.
Yeah, they're not dangerous at all. The building where Restore is now, a Habitat for Humanity just over the viaduct on Pillsbury, that used to be a skating rink.
Okay.
Boy, that was, that probably closed, what, early 80s?
Quite a while ago.
Yeah, yeah. And drive-in theaters.
Right.
You know,
and
there's
some places
half a dozen left,
still,
I think,
have
Kansas.
Drive-in theaters.
Yeah.
And I think in this virus era, they're kind of making a resurgence.
Yeah, definitely. I my brother actually lives in Idaho, went to a drive-in movie last night. They were playing Back to the Future at the drive-in where he lives. And, you know, there's something that I've watched that trilogy here recently. I think it's fun to see what they predicted correctly would come true in 2015. You know, a lot of the stuff it was just...
Like, for example?
Some of the things they did get right was, you know, flat-screen TVs and... what else was there? There was, the like keyless entries, like going into places with your thumbprint or just swiping a card or something.
Yeah, that was all on Get Smart.
Yeah. Hey, Get Smart was a great show.
That it was. Hey, let's take a break.
Okay. We'll have more with Cheryl Collins from the Riley County Historical Museum when we return on News Radio KAMN.